Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Tune in. Grow in faith.
That's Dominion with I'll Run to Him. A very good afternoon to you. Happy Friday! Man, we've made it to yet an end of another week. For me, it truly is an exciting moment to complete a week. And hint, hint, this time next week, somebody's turning 35. Yep, it's my birthday next week, Friday. But anyway, it's not about me. A big thanks to Johan on something else for holding the fort and allowing me to walk on soft ground. And so Spectrum it is, all the way up until 6 o'clock. And then I hand over to the youngins. Yep, to I Am Youth. But this, today's Spectrum, I must say, is an interesting one. It's filled with good conversations, I must say. And as we start off this afternoon, I must say, so I was telling Glanda, I've been looking forward to this conversation. And why was I looking forward to it so much? Not because it's just a book review, but because I misread the title. And I think the author deliberately did this when he did the cover to the book. I didn't even see the book at that point, but I still managed to read it wrong. I was like, what? I really need to have a conversation. And so this afternoon, as we start off, I have with me Pastor Takalani G. Musekwa, and he is the author of Marriage is Not Obsolete. Okay, let's start here. Good afternoon, Pastor Takalani, and welcome in.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me today.
Welcome, 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 I must say. So, like I say, I saw it on an email, and I was not supposed to miss out on the knot, but I still managed to miss out on it. And then I saw the book cover, and then I realized the knot was taken out of the actual text, and it's at the top as if it's forgotten. We're going to get to that, but was this intentionally done? Or is it one of those later you're like, hey, let's remove it and then put it somewhere there?
No, it was intentionally done. So even the way you read it exactly the way I wanted the people to read it.
Okay,
In second look, they realize, no, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay. No, yeah. Pastor Takalani, I think without really giving out much, because this is the book we're about to chat about right now, maybe let's start at who you are. Is it your first time home? Because this is home, by the way, in case you're wondering. Is it your first time around here?
First time here, yes.
Welcome home.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. We look forward to more of these. And is this your actual first book?
Yes, it is my actual first book.
Wow. Congratulations on the release of the book, yes. Pastor Takalani. All right. Thank you. If you can just give us a brief intro of who you are. I understand you're a pastor, where you're from. And I saw somewhere that you are a boy dad, like boys only. What a... I don't know how your wife keeps up with a house full of boys, but hey, if you can just give us a brief introduction so we get to know you before we have a chat with you.
Yes, my name is Takalani Musekwa. I grew up in Limpopo. Vendor speaking, my background. I've been a pastor for quite many years, but for a long time I've been... a tent maker model of pastor. So I've been working in the corporate for many, many years.
I was wondering what tent maker means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been working for a long time. I belong to the church called Grace Communion International, where we are a worldwide fellowship. We have presence in many countries around the world. In Africa, we have presence in about 21 countries in sub-Saharan Africa. So in December, the church approached me and asked me to take over the leadership of the church on the continent. So I had to leave my corporate role so that I can do justice to the new role.
I got goosebumps. What?
So that's what happened. So from December, I became what we call the superintendent of GCI Africa, which is the role I do now. I am married, as you saw. I'm married to Margaret for 32 years this year. We have been blessed with three boys, but sadly our eldest passed away 2 years ago. He was murdered.
Sure.
Recent. So we have the two boys still with us. As you were saying, my wife wished we had a girl.
You know, I've got twins. Two years, they're turning three in June.
Yes.
And I tell everyone, I am not planning to have a boy because I'm not God. So I'm not going to go and try for a boy and then I get another girl. Then I've got three girls.
Yeah.
So I see wifey tried there until she was like three. That's it.
Yeah, something in my family, almost like God wants you. If you start with boys, you get boys. You start with
girls. Are you serious?
Girls, yeah.
Oh, wow. It's like a pattern.
So it's like it's a pattern. We don't mix in my family. My youngest brother is the one who managed to get a mix.
Oh.
But the ones that came before me.
One gender per household.
Yeah, it's one gender per household.
Very unique, I must say.
Yeah.
Very unique. Now let's get right into it. I must say, my sister, when I told her I've got an interview, like I told you, she loves reading. I read because I want to open my mind a bit more. I'm not going to lie to you and say, I'm like an avid reader. But she religiously reads. When she goes to school, she's always got her book with her. So, yeah, trust me, she's probably going to try and look for you somewhere on social and tag you on this one because she's definitely going to read it. Now, let's begin here, Pastor Takalani. Let's begin with the bold title, the one we just had a talk about. Marriage is not obsolete. It sounds like a response to something. So what conversation were you reacting to when you chose this particular title?
Yes, it's a good question. I do address it in the book slightly.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, there has been a growing skepticism around relationships and marriage specifically.
Yeah.
But this specific one arose years ago. When I was still in the corporate, we were having some workshop, and during a lunch break, we were chatting around. And the ladies started talking about relationships and marriage. Mm. And one of them so blithely said, look, marriage is so last century. I don't know why you guys are still fussing about
it. It's overrated.
It's overrated, yes. And that caught my attention to say somebody's thinking like that, that this is something that is obsolete, it's outdated, it's over. We shouldn't be fussing around it. So for many years, I've been thinking about that. Over the years, I've been counseling couples who wanted to get married or who were having difficulty in marriage and stuff like that. And so I saw a growing dissatisfaction. Even those that get married, a few years later, they are disappointed and they want out. Mm. And so I said, maybe I need to help people navigate this issue.
Sure.
To say, should we give up on marriage or is there a case for it? Even in the 21st century.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the point and the thrust of what I try to do.
Sure.
And also to say, because sometimes, because of the way society is, single people tend to be made to feel that they have to get to marriage because marriage is the status to aspire
for. True.
So I need to address that as well, to say, no, that's not, actually from a biblical point of view as a Christian, that's not the model God has for us.
Sure.
He wants us to get married, but if you want to stay single, God says, bless you.
Then it's still okay.
And he's very good for that. So God encouraged that as well. So I wanted to also free those who choose singlehood from the pressure of society to say they need to get married.
To say there's nothing odd about you.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen this on social media, that there's always a post that goes around that says, if you never get married or if your Prince Charming never finds you, what's your plan?
Exactly.
It's almost as if you need to have a plan because there's just no way you cannot get married.
Yeah.
And that scares me. That scares me, Pastor, because oftentimes, and I used to have this conversation as a single lady as well. I was one of those who got to 31. I got married at 32. And the conversation was always like, she's lying. She's abstinence until marriage. No such. And the conversation was always around my name when people found that out. And it was always so if he never comes, what's going to happen? You know? And one of the things I'm happy about, Pastor, is I still kind of hold the same stance that if he had never come, I still would remain as I am, just serving the Lord. Because for me, and I find oftentimes the pressure had always been, hi, I want to have a family. And if you think about it, Pastor Takalani, I don't know if you've experienced this with church people generally, us born-again Christians, where we even try the shortcut. at least so I can have my children, you know? So I can, and I always joke about it. But funny enough, even now that I've got the twins, I still ask, what's it about children so much that you'd betray God?
Yeah,
like, what is it? Because some would say, "Hey, Sana, you'll go and ask for forgiveness from God." And I'm like, you guys play around that much about salvation that as long as I get to have the kids, it's fine, whatever, you know, I'll ask for forgiveness. But if marriage never comes, then what? And we get this pressure all the time to say, what if I never get married? As if there's something odd and different about you.
Exactly, yeah. So that's part of what I wanted to address.
So
that's where it came from. That conversation sparked it. And I started writing. Many years ago.
Okay.
My computer crashed and I lost my script almost when it was done.
Didn't you get discouraged?
And I was discouraged. I left it for a few years.
Can imagine.
And only, I think, two years ago, I said, no, I need to get back to it. So last year, I said, look, I need to finish it. And I set a date for launch so that I know that, okay, by that date, I need to be done.
Has the launch come yet?
Yes, we launched it on the 14th of February.
We missed out. Yeah. No, your opening chapter, Pastor Takalani, is titled The Desperation for Marriage. Sure. Now, that's provocative. Let's talk about it. Who exactly is desperate? And what is driving that desperation in our generation?
Yes. So the first chapter, I wanted to address that point up front, to free those that maybe are desperate, to also help them understand their desperation.
Okay.
Because it is real. What we're facing, so the first reason we have this desperation is because we have a demographic crisis, as I call it. That's the crisis of the mismatch between
the gender,
men and women. Yes.
True.
Which is growing badly. So women have always preferred to marry somebody who's of their social standing, education, whatever you want to call it. Men don't bother about that much.
True.
But women do. But what we're then finding is that in South Africa today, there are more graduate females than males.
Yeah.
Every year, I think if you look at the actual stats, almost like 60,000 to 100,000 difference between male and female graduates per year.
The gap is widening.
You can see it in matriculant results. More girls are passing matric than boys. You can see it at universities. More girls are coming out of university than boys. And so it's creating a challenge for where all these graduate women looking for graduate men, they're just not there.
Yeah.
And so they're looking around and they just can't find them. There are few of them. We're almost facing the disaster that Isaiah talks about.
Okay.
When he says seven women will come to one man and say, "Just take us." Just take us.
I saw that coming. Back to
yes. So we're almost facing that crisis. And so that's the one thing. But the desperation comes from this. The desperation is almost an instinctive thing in how God made male and female.
Okay.
For those that know the scriptures, we are on a Christian radio station, so I can talk the Bible.
Of course.
So in Genesis, after our primal parents sinned, God pronounced what we call curses today. And I think it is not so much a curse as we define a curse today.
Okay.
It is more to say you have condemned yourself to this kind of thing because this is what you have done. It's like somebody takes drugs and they become addicted. Nobody's cursing them.
Of course.
They're cursing themselves. They're condemning themselves to drug addiction. And what happened with the original sin, it condemned male and female to certain outcomes.
All right.
The female, he says, your heart will desire your husband, but he will rule over you. So there's almost something inbuilt in the woman's heart that desires the affection of a man.
Sure.
And that makes her desperate for his attention. And you can see it in our society. And this is not today. It has been the case throughout the history of humanity.
True.
Women desire the attention of a man. Even if it means to dress in a particular way and walk in front of men and put on. I mean, I'll use this example. Women will take two pairs of shoes to work. Mm-hmm. The flat shoes, they're driving the car, they go to the parking, they take off the flat shoes, they put on their high heels and walk into the office and they sit at their desk and they take off the high heels and put on the flat shoes again.
So it's just for show, so just while you model in.
And that show is not for women, it's for the men. And there's this desire for women to be admired and wanted by men.
Yes.
And it sort of condemns them. And unfortunately, men understand that and they exploit that.
Mm.
And because they know this desperation. So women get exploited because those who are scammers, they see the desperation.
Of course.
Written all over your face and they come and exploit that and they use you. On the men's side, we have a different kind of problem.
Okay.
God said to the men, because of what you have done, the ground will be very difficult. You will struggle to eke a living out of it.
Mm-hmm.
By the sweat of your brow, you will live. And so what then it condemned the man to do, because the woman wants his attention,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to please her. And you'll find men will work themselves to death to impress a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the on the side of men, that men will do anything
to
impress women, because it's almost instinctive in them to want to do that.
Yep.
And that's part of the fall of men that happened. These are not what God had pre the fall.
Okay.
These are the results of our corruption and our sinfulness.
Mm.
But we need to understand that that's not how God wanted us to be. He doesn't want women to be desperate for the love of a man. He doesn't want men to be killing themselves for the affection of a woman or for the attention of a woman. But that's where we are now. So the desperation is both male and female.
Yeah.
And today we find that women are getting into their 40s and they are looking around, they just can't find anybody.
Yeah.
And you find women, for example, thinking that they must just go to the club, maybe they'll meet somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
And what they don't know, what the guys are talking about, they are saying, I will not marry a girl I meet in the club.
Exactly.
And so they think they'll find one there, but the guys who are there are not looking for a woman.
They're not looking for a woman.
When they want to find a woman to marry, they go outside the club because they don't think if you go to the club, you are marriage material for them.
You're befitting.
Yeah, you are not the Makoti they want to take to their family.
Sure.
And that's the challenge. And so women are desperate. They don't know where do we find these men. And so they are confused. So this is part of helping people understand that we need to navigate this challenge much more thoughtfully and not be ignorant about what's going on.
True.
Because if we remain ignorant, the more the desperation becomes. And then as history tells us and what we read on social media, women are getting abused badly. They are being used by men. Those that are desperate, men are being used as well.
True.
You see men who think this girl loves them, they put her through university and so on. She finishes and she dumps them because she wants educated men. Those kind of issues.
Mm.
So both genders are facing similar crises, which is a crisis of demography, that our generation, we're finding shifts in how the society is structured.
Mm. It's interesting you should make mention that analogy you drew us to of a woman going with two shoes. There's a friend of mine who always argues and she says, no, why do you men think we want their affirmation? Why do they think we derive our identity from them? And one day I jokingly said to my sister, but if you actually think about it, we go all out. As much as I might claim I don't care what people think, but I do actually care about my image. And I'm talking about myself as a woman, actually.
Mm.
I'm not going to leave anyhow unless I know, like, especially on Fridays, I'm going to leave my house into the car, into the studio. Nobody's going to see me. But I'm not going to go and walk out in the public looking shabby because I do worry. And it's truly speaking, it's not so much about how another female counterpart will as a woman, generally as a person, though it does become about that oftentimes. But even from it does, we understand each other when our hair is looking all messy and. But you are also worried about the, what are they going to think of me? You still want people to think you're beautiful. And oftentimes, it's the opposite sex. It's never your own. It's never your own.
Yeah.
So when you said that, I was like, confirmation, I'm not crazy. I've always said this. But look, we always argue against it. I get it. Now, Pastor Tagalani, you cite a 34% decline in civil marriages between 2014 and 2023. Now, many would argue That's clear evidence marriage is actually fading. Are we witnessing evolution or erosion?
No, I think part of the decline. So here we're talking civil marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And part of what we're witnessing is the issue I was talking about, the fact that we have this demographic challenge.
Mm-hmm.
People, women, part of it is women are delaying marriage because they want to build careers.
Of course.
And they say, okay, I'll worry about marriage later, I'll worry about marriage and kids later, and so on. So that also means that there is less civil marriages being registered. At the same time, also, what I've spoken about, that the people are not just finding the spouse they are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that is also delaying that, and there's a decline. And what then ends up happening, as we see in society, people simply move in together. They simply move in together.
So there's a rise in cohabitation.
There's a rise in cohabitation.
Sure.
Which then, because it's never formalized, there's no love life negotiations, there's no wedding at the church, there's no visit to the home affairs offices. People just move in together. And what the people don't understand is that, and I address this in the book, that marriage has three dimensions. It has the spiritual dimension, which is the essence of what a marriage is.
Okay.
Because it is God who defines what it is. And then there is a socio-cultural dimension, which is how we define marriage in different cultures. To say, to be married in African culture, the people must have come to your family and pay for love,
yeah,
and so on. Then you were married. Or in the Western culture, you must have then go to home affairs, get a certificate, or get a pastor in church, officiate and give you that. Those are cultural expressions of marriage. The marriage that God recognizes is a spiritual one.
Okay.
He's the one who joins male and female to become one. And he does that through the sexual union of male and female. Now, when you move in together with somebody, and now this is going to be controversial.
Of course.
when you move in together with somebody and have a child, because some of them even have a child.
They're families.
They're living as a family.
Mm.
But they have not done any formality of a marriage as we understand it in the formal process. And they tell themselves they're not married. But the reality is they are. God has joined them. God has joined them. And even our law has caught up with that.
Okay.
Because if one of you dies, your assets don't go to your parents. The other one who survives you, even though you have nothing to prove, if they go to court and prove that you stay together.
Yes, they were dependent on you.
You were dependent on each other. The law will rule that some of the assets you leave behind must go to them.
So
the law recognizes that.
Sure.
And I'm
though
glad
they may
that,
not necessarily call it marriage,
yes,
but the dynamics of
the
marriage
of
kick
it are
in.
There. They kick in. They kick in. And
sure,
people don't understand that's what they're doing. So I normally advise young people and say, why are you just staying together? Formalize this thing, because you are. Because even when you break up, the heartache is not different. You see, whether you are formally married with a certificate or whether you're cohabiting, when the breakup happens, it is divorce. The heart knows what it is.
Yeah.
The heart knows what it is.
This is deep. This is deep. Listen, Pastor Tagalani, can I just go to the shops a little bit? We'll be right back because, guys, this conversation is going to get more real.
Where hope and faith thrive. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Voices of Heaven with Change is coming. It's 18 minutes to 5 o'clock. Still in studio with Pastor Tagalane Mosekwa this afternoon. And we're talking about his recently released book, Marriage is Not Obsolete. Welcome back, Pastor Tagalane.
Yes,
do they ever call you Pastor TK?
Yes.
Okay. It just popped. I don't know why. No. Let's get right back into it, Pastor Takalani. Look, you tackle the famous idea that in marriage, two become one flesh. And people often simplify that to 1 + 1 = 1. But you challenge that question. What are we getting wrong about, this oneness? What are we getting wrong?
Well, from our primary school arithmetic, we know 1 + 1 = 2, not 1.
Of course.
So the math is wrong to start off. So when God created the first humans, he said to them, be fruitful and multiply.
Ooh.
God is in the business of multiplication, not adding things up.
Not adding and reducing their real number.
Exactly. He's in the business of multiplying. So when we enter marriage, God wants to multiply us. He wants to grow us. He wants to scale us. And I think those who are maths teachers will understand the concept. People don't understand the difference between addition and multiplication.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was in school, the teacher trying to make it easier for us. He will say 2 × 3 is the same as 2 + 2 + 2.
Okay.
To make it make sense.
Yes.
And when you do that, unfortunately, you confuse the two concepts, the concept of multiplication and addition.
Okay.
So people grow up with the idea that addition and multiplication have the same.
Are similar.
Mm. And they are not. They are very different.
Of course.
And so in marriage, it is 1 × 1 = 1.
Okay.
1. And that's what marriage is about. It's about one person multiplying the other person. And multiplication is about scale.
Okay.
If you have a string,
interesting.
If you have an elastic band that is, say, 1 centimeter long, you can multiply it to 5 times. So you can stretch it and it becomes 5 centimeters.
Okay.
The same one piece of thing, which is one, when you leave it on the table,
it's one centimeter. All right.
But you can multiply it 5 times.
Okay.
And make it look 5 and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens in marriage. In marriage, the way God designed it, he wants when you get married, your spouse must multiply you.
Mm.
They must grow you. They must scale you.
Oh.
They must increase your impact.
Mm.
That's what marriage is about. It's about increasing our impact.
Sure.
When you talk about 50-50, 50%, I bring my 50%, you bring your 50%. Mm. That's a negative approach to marriage. Because people don't understand. Because they think it's additive. They say 50 + 50 = 100.
Okay.
But that's not what happens.
Okay.
When you apply the multiplication model of marriage, 50 × 50 is not 100.
Mm-hmm.
It's 25%. It gets less.
Okay.
So when you bring less than the full 100% of yourself into a marriage, the outcome is less.
Mm.
It doesn't get more. So we shortchange ourselves when we come into a marriage with an idea of a 50-50 mindset.
Mm.
Because the idea of marriage is about multiplication. When you try to multiply 50%, you get less of it.
Of course.
It's only when you give yourself 100% or more that when you multiply, you get greater results.
All right.
And that's what marriage is about. And I do go into much more detail about the idea in the book about how this plays out in reality. A 1 × 1 = 1. Equals 1 in marriage.
Listen, we can tell the mileage. The mileage is high. 31 years experience is showing when it comes to this. Because as you're speaking, I'm just mind blown. I've never thought of that concept. 1 × 1 is actually 1. That makes more sense than le addition that forces matters. 1 + 1 = 1. I get you entirely, I must say. Now, let's address the romantic ideal. Is love enough? Or is that one of the biggest myths that we've been sold? Is love really enough?
Yes, I'll answer in this way. Love is a box word. A box word is a word that has various meanings.
Okay.
When you mention it, people have different ideas of what it is.
All right.
If I say, I love my wife, and I say, I love my mother.
Mm-hmm.
People understand what I mean by each phrase.
All right.
The love for my mother is not the same as the love for my wife.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand is that, for example, in the biblical Greek, there are different words for love. Mm-hmm. The Greeks who sort of started the modern understanding of philosophy and wisdom. Mm. They understood this. So they didn't jumble up the idea of love into one idea.
True.
They have different words for it. They have the word agape, mm-hmm. which is we understand to be the true essence of what love is.
Yeah.
And the other expressions of it, which are eros, which is the romantic love between male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the philia love, which is a love between friends.
Okay.
And then we have storge love, which is a love between family members, like my love for my kids, mm-hmm. the love of my kids for me, my love for my brothers. So those are the different ideas of love. So when I say I love mm-hmm. my brother, I love my friend, I love my boss, I love my wife, those are different ideas, and I'm talking True. About different kinds of life. So when we talk about love in marriage, and I do have a full chapter about love in the book,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the agape love.
Okay.
That sure. is what marriage is built on. It is not built on eros.
Okay.
It is not built on romantic love.
Mm.
That is part of marriage.
Okay.
But it is not what the marriage is built on.
All
if you build it on eros, eros is not enough.
Mm.
But agape is enough.
Sure.
And when we talk about the agape love, we're talking about the love that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says it is patient,
mm-hmm.
it is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not self-seeking.
Yeah.
And if you, when you find that kind of love in marriage, that marriage will survive.
Mm.
Because when people make their marriage vows, it is that kind of love they are describing.
Yeah.
The love that says for better or for worse,
mm.
in plenty and in want.
Mm-hmm.
Not the love that says, now that you have lost your job, sorry,
I'm
I can't
out.
Stand for this.
Mm.
That's not the love that we're talking about. That is the love that was built on friendship, where your friend goes into hard times, you leave them and find friends who are doing well.
Yeah.
That's not the agape love that marriage is built on.
Mm.
The love that marriage is built on will face every difficulty that you face.
Sure.
We'll be able to survive that. So it is enough, mm. but we must be clear about what love
Which
we're talking
love?
About. Which love we're talking about.
Sure. Yeah. That's a different angle, I must say. Now, many professional women today say that marriage feels unequal. They work full-time, yet carry most of the domestic load. Does your book confront this tension? And what does a truly modern partnership look like?
Yeah, it's one of the challenges we have today.
Mm.
Specifically between the males. I'll always challenge couples.
Okay.
When they are coming for marriage, specifically the men. Premarital counseling. Because some of them unashamedly will say, for example, I'm living by myself. I need to have somebody to help me to at least do my washing, to help with the cooking and so on. And I say to them, look, if that's what you're looking for, hire a maid.
You know?
You don't need to marry somebody to cook for you or wash your clothes and so on.
Mm.
That's not what marriage is for.
Yeah.
But somehow we have reduced marriage to that,
mm.
which is a very sad thing.
Yep.
And therefore you'll find women, executives, who are holding senior positions in the corporate world. They get home because as an executive, you might finish your day at 6
mm-hmm.
or 6:30 or 7 in the evening. By the time you get home, it's dark. You get home, your husband is sitting in the lounge watching TV. And as soon as you walk in, before you even put your bags in the room, he asks, what is for dinner?
Yeah, he tells you he's hungry.
and she says, look, I'm so tired. I have an exco tomorrow morning. I need to prepare, so I won't have time to cook. I'm going to order something in. I'm going to call Uber Eats and get something. And he gets angry about that.
Mm.
He wants her to cook.
Sure.
He's not happy with Uber Eats.
Mm.
And this comes from the idea that a submissive woman is a woman who is a maid, a woman who cooks for you, who cleans for you, who does all these kind of things. And there was a song many years ago by the late, and may his soul rest in peace, Lucky Dube.
Mm-hmm.
I loved his music. One of his songs was, he said, over my dead body will I make tea for a woman, he said. And there are many men who swear by that, that they will not do that. And it's based on an idea about submission, that a woman who doesn't want to make you tea, wash for you, cook
for
you,
is
not submissive enough.
Sure.
And I have a whole chapter on submission, what it looks like.
Mm.
And people will be surprised, and I'm going to steal their surprise here by talking more about it. I would like you to get the book and read it, because it challenges, and in fact, I turn the idea of submission on its head. And it's a biblical view of submission. which we have misused all the time. And it's a misuse of, for example, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, okay. Which wives submit to your husband. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, do you know that verse doesn't say that?
Okay.
And people are surprised when I say that.
Okay.
The word submit is not in that verse.
Sure.
And then they open their English translations and say, but here it is. Here is the word. I said, yes. The translators put that word in there. In the original version that Paul wrote, that word does not appear in that statement.
Okay.
It simply says wives to your husbands.
Oh.
It doesn't say wives submit to your husband. It says wives to your husbands. But let me leave it there and leave the readers to go check out chapter on submission.
Can I be honest with you? I was planning to read the book. I'm going to stop what I'm reading currently because I want to get to it. I'm going to get into your book immediately, actually.
Please
I'm
going
to do exactly
Please
that.
Do.
Now, Pastor Takalani, in part two, you refer to the landmines of marriage. That's strong imagery. Now, what are these landmines and why do so many couples step on them?
Yeah, it's because most of the time these are the landmines are bombs that get planted underground.
Yeah.
And they look innocent. You think you are just walking along the path and you step on it unawares and it blows you up. And so I use that because of all the couples that I've ever counseled who were having problems in their marriage. I haven't found one whose problem was not one of these four that are addressed in the book.
Sure.
You can do your own research. When people tell you what they are having problems in their marriage, try to see what the essence of it is. It will be one of these.
One of these, areas. Definitely.
And these are in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
It is children.
Mm-hmm.
It is money.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sex.
Okay.
Those four are what blows up marriages.
Sure.
And so in the book, even in my pre-marital counseling, I address how do you navigate in-laws to avoid this issue that you don't get along with your mother-in-law
yeah.
or with your in-laws, your sisters-in-law, whatever the case is, how to navigate the issue of children.
Mm.
Children have become a bigger issue today
really?
Because of blended families.
Oh.
A lot more people getting married today already enter marriage with one or two kids.
True.
You have very few couples who are entering marriage with 0-0.
Mm,
And that makes the complication. Because when you enter a marriage with stepchildren coming in, you already have a challenge.
Of course.
And I address some of those challenges in the book. And if you are not entering a marriage with a child from a previous relationship or previous marriage, whatever it is, you need to understand how to navigate that kind of dynamic in that family. So blended families are not well understood because they're a new phenomenon for our generation.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, people entered marriage without children.
Yeah.
But now they do. When we go to Lobola negotiations, as a man, I get invited to go negotiate Lobolas for my nephews. And and when you go there, then the questions always arise. So does the children come along? Because there's already children in most cases. And you have to negotiate that as part of the normal. Like, yes, the children are coming along. No, they're going to stay. All those kind of things. And I have to, when I do premarital counseling, ask the couples, do you have kids? Most of the time they do already.
Yeah.
And I say, have you decided what is going to happen with the kids? And you might find they think they are making their lives easier by saying no. The girl might say, no, my parents have adopted my child, so I'm going to get married. They said they will keep the child. I said, what if your parents die tomorrow?
What must happen to the child?
What must happen to the child? They will come. And what happens if in your marriage you set it up with the idea that it doesn't have that child? But suddenly that child must come. What is going to happen?
Sure.
So you can't start on that basis.
Sure.
You have to upfront understand that there is this dynamic of children which affects many of the relationships today. And how do you navigate that?
This is really deep. Thanks to Anna Rababalela. I hope I'm reading your surname correctly. Anna is really blessed. She's like, amen. I think let's make this a very last point of chat, Pastor Takalani. And I think I'm going to jump to the last. Marriage contracts and customary marriages are increasingly in public debate, especially after recent constitutional court developments. Now, from your perspective, when should couples be thinking about legally and practically before saying, I do? Is there such a thing as an ideal marital framework?
Yeah, so this is an issue. I find most of the couples that come to see me for premarital counseling, they've never even thought about what kind
about
of
the regime marriage regime of marriage.
They're going to go for.
Sure.
So I ask them, look, before we even talk about the date, have you decided what marriage regime?
I can imagine it's a sensitive question as well.
and most of those who are Christian, I counsel both Christian and non-Christians.
Mm.
The Christian ones simply assume that in community of property
is godly.
So they don't even ask the question. They're walking into it blinded, blind. They don't even understand what the implications are. And I always raise this issue. When we discuss the issue of marriage regime, we are not talking about insurance for divorce.
Yep.
We are talking about insurance for death.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So if a couple approaches the issue of the marriage regime on the basis of when we divorce, they shouldn't be getting married.
Sure.
They are not ready to get married, at least to that person. So that's not the reason we discuss this. We discuss this because death happens.
It does.
I was using the example of blended families where you come in with a child into a marriage. You had a child from high school. Well, girls get pregnant in high school. You have a child already. You get married in your 30s. The child is 10 years or 15 years. And you go in community of property.
Mm.
And you are a professional woman. You have a house. You have cars. You have built assets before your marriage. And you simply go blind into in community of property.
Yeah.
And you get married and 2 years later you die. Because we don't have control over that. That's what insurance is for. You die and your surviving spouse, who is now the step-parent to your child, they want to remarry. I can guarantee you, most of the time, they will ship that child to your parents or your relatives, your uncles and aunts, who will not look after that child.
And they lose their inheritance.
And they will take all the inheritance because they are the surviving spouse.
Yeah.
And normally you find that people don't even have a proper will. They will take all of that and you'll leave your child at risk. So the marriage regime is about if you have dependents when you enter marriage and you have assets and you need to protect those assets for them in the case of death.
True.
You need to consider an antenuptial contract, for example, with accrual.
Sure.
I do believe that when you are married to somebody, what you accrue together in marriage must accrue to both
of you.
But what you do come into marriage with before you get married, if you have dependents,
like
parents who are old, who don't have anybody to look after them, or a disabled brother or sister or sibling that you need to that you are looking after, you need to make sure that in the event you die, there some assets will accrue to them to look after them. That's what this is about.
Sure.
And also what the issue now is the reason is that people didn't understand that when you enter, for example, a lobola negotiated marriage, that you automatically marry in community of property. And there are so many people today who have signed antenuptial contracts after the lobola negotiation.
Then they null and void.
And they think they are, but they don't have that.
Yo.
They are married in community of property. That's what has happened. So I advise couples, before you send your uncles, do the contract first if you don't want in community of property.
Yeah.
Because once they sign those papers and say we've paid, you are in community of property. You cannot longer you cannot longer change.
Yep.
You cannot opt out. And that's the point that people need to take into account. And I do have appendices in the book where I address various issues, including marriage contracts, and what people should be thinking about when they consider that.
Listen, Pastor Takalani, I'd love to let you go, but I'm looking at the time. I have to quickly run to my news. Please hold that thought, because I'm not going to let you go without giving relevant contact details on how we can get our hands on the book. So hold that thought.
657 AM, radio for believers in action.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day.
If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011 326 3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
For you, yeah. Afrikaans getting me tongue-tied there. Joy Celebration featuring Buleng Maj takes us down to the second and final hour of the show. I must say, this is an undone occurrence, Pastor Tagalani, but I feel like I need to complete this conversation properly. look, we have run out of time, but I just feel I will not be doing justice to this conversation because I have two more questions for you before you give your details. But thank you to Maria as well. It looks like people are really enjoying this conversation. So I want you to get your hands on the book and we'll give you details of that. But here's another one, Pastor Tagalani. I know you weren't ready for this, but I'm just going to shoot. You interestingly devote a section to singles, the divorced and the widowed. Now, if this book is all about marriage, why widen the lens? What did you see that made that so necessary?
Yeah, so part of it I mentioned in the beginning regarding singlehood specifically. Mm-hmm. So I address that part to say singlehood can be a choice.
Okay.
That people can make. Mm. They don't need to be pressured into getting married.
Of course.
And the second part I'm going to say, I say it even as a pastor, and it pains me. Mm-hmm. Because even as pastors, sometimes we have turned the church into a family organization.
Okay.
And I don't want to sound controversial to my colleagues, because we do have where we end up calling our churches family church, something family church.
Yeah.
And we create an environment where if you're a single person,
you have no space.
The vibe in the church is not for you.
Yeah.
The space is not for you. And we can't reduce the gospel to marriage,
sure,
to families. We need to make sure that as churches, we don't make marriage
a gospel.
It is not the gospel. And we need, therefore, create space for single people and that even in our churches, there must be space for them. Whatever the programming we do in our churches, we must understand that there are single people,
mm-hmm,
and we must have space for them. We must not design our churches as if they are only for families.
True.
And sometimes we make that error. So part of it is I wanted to address that issue to say, while we're talking about marriage, we must understand how God sees it.
Yeah.
In fact, Jesus says when they were making an issue about marriage, he said, look, in the new life, people won't get married.
Okay.
So why are you fussing? What are you fussing about?
What is this noise about?
What is this noise about? So we need to understand that, that there is something bigger beyond marriage itself.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I wanted to address. The issue of divorce and widows and stuff like that. Divorce specifically, there is a scandal of divorce.
Yeah.
If you are divorced and you are in church.
It's a touchy subject.
It's a very touchy subject. Mm. You people even stay away from you. I mean, they, if you are in the church, both of you are in the church. Churches get divided. The one group is siding with the other spouse, the other one. And it becomes a mess. And there's a scandal of saying they had a failed marriage. We use the word failed marriage. And so there's this kind of things that we need to help people find God's grace, even in those circumstances.
Mm.
People who have been widowed, who have lost their spouse. Mm. Sometimes people are in the heat of the love they have in marriage. They make promises to each other to say, if you die, I won't remarry. And so if it happens that the other spouse dies and you remember, I told them I won't get married.
Exactly.
Remarry. And now you are bound to this thing. That promise you made.
But why do we even make such promises to one another?
We shouldn't be doing that.
Mm.
Marriage is until death do us part.
Mm.
When you die,
it is
the other spouse is free.
Yeah.
They are not held
dissolved,
by
even by law.
Exactly. No, by God.
Sure, by God himself.
It is dissolved by God when you die.
Mm.
Paul says you are free if your spouse dies. And therefore, we should not then put this burden.
Mm.
In fact, Paul in 1 Timothy, he says to young widows, if you want to get married, get. In fact, he says, rather get married.
Mm.
Because some of you are becoming busybodies in the church. and he advised them to get married. And so we need to help people find peace with moving on. Because sometimes people feel that they are betraying their deceased spouse
True.
If they remarry.
True.
And there's no such thing. God, and even when they resurrect, they think, okay, when we resurrect, when Jesus returns,
am I now going to have two husbands?
I'm going to have to explain to them why I married somebody else. No, you won't have that problem. It won't even arise. That's so people need to find the freedom and the peace that comes with a decision of wanting whether you want to remarry or not.
Okay.
You are free to do that. You don't need to be held by whatever societal issues that we create for ourselves, because those are not biblical. They are not how God sees it.
Trust me, you're healing. You're healing somebody who was going through that guilt right now.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that to ourselves. Yeah.
Don't place so much burden over yourself. Tell me now, Pastor Dagalani, does your book speak to dating in today's culture? You know, where apps, delayed commitment, and shifting expectations have redefined relationships?
Yes, it's one of the... I mean, we come from a world where... I grew up in a village in Limpopo, and I knew everybody. Everybody knew everybody. And therefore, the circle of people that you could potentially marry if you live in the village was defined. But then we, with technology, we've moved into a global village. The dating apps have created a worldwide village where literally you put yourself in a dating app. Your profile is accessed by millions of people around the world. And if you say you are available to anybody in the world, then it will the algorithm will throw some potentials to you. And so you have this choice that is unbelievable. And psychology has what something called the paradox of choice, which says when people have too much choice, they can't make a choice.
Of course.
And if they make a choice, they are unhappy with their choice.
Oh.
So you have people who go through their search for a spouse through these dating apps and give them 20, 30 different people, and all of them
are good
potentials. They're all good potentials.
Mm.
You settle with one, and then a year later when you start having problems, you'll have problems.
Of course.
You start thinking maybe the other one would have been better. Maybe I made the wrong choice. Sure. And then they opt out.
Is the issue the vast number of options? Could that be the real issue?
It is the phenomenon, which is what we call in the paradox of choice. That the more choice you create,
the more confused
you are. And therefore, even when you are married, you are never satisfied with the choice you made.
Sure.
You buy a car. If you have money, you start driving it and seeing somebody on the freeway passing with a different car. You start thinking, maybe I should have bought that one.
This one. True.
And people who have money, they'll go and change it.
Mm.
And people ask questions. Why do people, like, for example, buy 10 different cars? It's because of that. Because when you have the money, you have the choice. And the choice is limitless when it comes to cars.
Can never be fully made.
Yes, exactly. And so you find people then not being satisfied. And marriage is about choosing to commit and then committing to your choice.
Choosing to commit and committing to your choice.
Yes. That's what you need to understand, that when you want to get married, you are choosing to commit your life to somebody. And
now
once
you have
married,
now you must
commit to that choice. Sure. That's what it's about. You can't have second thoughts about maybe there's the thing people have about whether there's somebody that God has created specially for you, that you need to find them. No, there's no such a thing. It's not such a thing.
There's a pastor from the Eastern Cape, Pastor Mapinda. He always argues that. He says, stop this delusion.
Yeah.
There's no one particular person.
So you're not looking for somebody that you're going to find that perfectly meets your expectations. That person doesn't exist. So I try to help young people who are looking for spouses, and they are going through the dating chats. They are doing all this and they are getting very confused.
And
that helped them to say, look, if you want to get married, make a choice and commit your choice. That's what it's about.
Sure. Pastor Zagalani, you and I could go forever and ever. And if this is so interesting, and I feel like I don't know how you did it without risking giving out your entire book here, because this was certainly so informative. But how do we get our hands on the book? Perhaps if you can even give us social media handles. I don't know if you have social media handles. And, you know, anyway, we can actually purchase the book.
Yes, you can purchase the book. So currently, you can go online at www.mbonelele, is mbonelele.com.
Spell that again.
mbonelele.
Mbonelele.
Yes.
Oh, Mbonelele. How did you pronounce that?
Bonelele.
Oh.
Yeah, bonelele.com. If you search for bonelele.com, you'll find the website. The book is there. There's a page called the book. You click on the book. It shows you how to order. You play. You add it to the cart,
mm-hmm.
and then you can check out and pay for it. And at the moment, our delivery, depending on how far you are, from where we are, it's between 12 and 24 hours, 48 hours to get it.
Oh, wow.
So if you order, you should get it by within 48 hours.
Lovely.
If you are in Gauteng and you order in the morning, you might even get it by the end of the day.
Oh, wow.
That's sometimes...
You're that efficient.
That's how efficient it has been.
Oh, man.
And it has been selling fast, so do get your copy in. Before the launch, when we were saying pre-orders, the order that we've praised for printing ran out. And we had to get another print run before the launch.
Sure.
So please get your hands on the copy as soon as you can. Bonelele.com, and then you'll be able to place your order.
Pastor, thank you so much for your time.
The price, 249 rand.
Okay.
Plus the delivery.
The delivery.
Yeah.
All right.
Those who know me and can pick it up themselves, they don't have to pay the delivery.
They can just pop in and get it.
They can just pop in and get it, yes.
Thank you so much, Pastor Takalani. Any last words?
No, just wanted to leave a word maybe for those that may be struggling with their marriage and were wondering whether they should be continuing or not. Get the book and read it, and let's chat if you need help. I believe marriage can be saved. We just need to understand what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do understand what we're dealing with and we can find the space for each other in our lives, it becomes much easier.
Pastor Takalani, thank you so much and God bless.
Thank you very much.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM Songs of Life.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.